and welcome to the Trash Tapes Podcast as part of the Enigmatic Productions Network. If you love bad cinema and incredible deep dives into cult film, then you have come to the right place. So if you like what you hear and want to support us, you can do so by donating some funds to our Buy Me a Coffee website, along with the Acast supporter feature. All of these can be found in the description below. And now, on with the show.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to this very retrospective episode and unique episode of the Trash Tapes. I am Johann Schiphol, your host and the inflictor of pain, and my victim here, Edward Harvey. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Hello, guys.
Indeed. We are doing this rather special episode because we're doing partly in video and partly on the podcast. So if you want to get the full discussion, subscribe to the podcast, which is now all over the place.
Yeah.
So we're on Spotify, we're on Acast, we're on iTunes. Any place that types of podcasts, you type in the Trash Tapes, we're going to be on it. So we'll have a full retrospective of 2018. Oh my God, it's passed.
Yeah. And this gives us a chance as well to use our rating system that we established a bit later on some of the earlier episodes.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what our thing is, because next year, next month, we are going to be, it's going to be a full year. Mm. February will be a full year, which is scary for us, because usually, I'm not usually committed to something that long. Like, ever. So the fact that we've done this for nearly a whole year is amazing.
Yeah.
So best look back on it before we give up quickly. So, yeah. So before we can't sort of do that, I think like 2018 has been an interesting year for both of us.
Mm.
In terms of like content and things like what we're doing, we've actually been very active, far more active than we would have thought of.
Yeah, we've kind of just transformed, really, in terms of, because we used to be hardcore kind of filmmakers trying to get into film festivals all the time. And we did do that. We got some awards and we got some like selections and with our short films, but we just wanted to create more, didn't we?
Yeah,
and get it out there and show people what we can do. So a good way of doing that is being content creators,
and we did that by doing the sort of things that we love. And we thought of ourselves, well, you know, Ed, you love playing video games, I love talking about rubbish movies, and you know, and we're also just having a bit of fun in between by watching games, like, you know, playing games, you know, talk about TV, movies, and we've made sort of a thing where we're now making more regular content than we ever did.
Yeah.
Which is quite fun.
I'm really, really enjoying it. Yeah. I mean, the newest edition, the Enigmatic TV, is still something we've got to establish more because that's a new show. Definitely well deep into Enigmatic Play and Trash Tapes now, and we've kind of got the formats going and we're loving it, you know?
And I'm really kind of hoping 2019 is going to be that kind of year where we really sort of push it. And we never know. I mean, with the Trash Tapes, we never know. I'm hoping to expand. We have no idea. There might be ideas. Maybe monthly screenings, maybe.
Mm.
Maybe go find a place and just show some of our terrible movies to the world. And, you know, start inflicting that pain to other people other than just just you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you are the only person who seems to tolerate this with me. So let's find some other creeps out there who might be up for it.
That sounds great, yeah.
Maybe we'll get more thought into the gaming. Maybe we'll get some guests. Ooh, that would be good. Some guests might be a good
idea. There are actually quite a few people who are fans of the shows that have said, oh, can I come on, and things like that. So, yeah.
So maybe we can do that. Mm. So that's awesome. Let's just look back a little bit in 2018 before we talk about what we want to do, which is going for every single episode of the podcast.
You say it like it's going to be a chore.
No, it'll be great, but it's a lot of episodes. We've done 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Let's look at it. We need to sort of establish that we don't just watch terrible things. Yeah. We also watch some good stuff, you know. Yeah. So I'm thinking, was there any kind of movies or TV shows that really kind of stood out in 2018 for you?
For me, top TV program, Haunting of Hill House.
Now I want you two to get good rest.
What if I have a bad dream?
Well, I'm sure we can handle any dream you have.
What if I dream that you sent us away into the dark and we get hurt? Really hurt. And what if I'm so sad and scared of the dark out there that I put poison in me for years and years until my blood turns into poison and my heart breaks right in half and I can't feel anything happy. Well, I can't stand it anymore and I have to die. And time on a silver table. Is my jaw wired shut?
Why?
Would you wake us up from a dream like that?
Of course I'd wake you.
I absolutely loved that. I was so engrossed.
Yes.
And it was such a massive emotional experience. It wasn't just a horror. Mm. It was like a drama. I was like crying. I was afraid. Every emotion I experienced.
It really
in that
moved
show.
You at points, yeah. Didn't it? You're thinking, at the end of sometimes when it left you on the end of the episode, you're thinking, oh, that hit me in the feels there.
It was incredible TV. You normally you used to get that kind of quality just from movies.
Yes.
But TV nowadays has gone so high up in production value and quality, and the acting in that show was fantastic.
Yes.
And the story was great. And I was just full, and it was scary as well. Sometimes when they go too much with the drama on a horror, they kind of like it, the scares dampen down a bit, but with that, it was scary and it was moving and like an engrossing story. I just loved it.
One of the things I'd say about one of my favourite episodes of that one is I'm not sure somewhere in between where they just did long takes for long periods of time.
The day before the funeral kind
yes,
of thing, yeah.
That was amazing. There was like long, there was a series of long takes.
It was like theatre, wasn't it?
Yes, and it was wonderful. Mm. And you saw things in the background move or certain things occur and you get even more creeped out by it. That was definitely my favourite episode.
Yeah.
Because visually it was stunning and the story was moving and you cut back and forwards in time and the way they did it was spot on.
Yeah,
such
incredible.
A good episode, that one.
In terms of movies, the new Halloween movie is my favourite film of 2018.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was because it didn't let me down. Well, I was so the hype for it was incredible, and I was thinking, please don't let me down. But it arrived, and we went to see it. And we also, if you did an episode on it, you check that out on our channel if you want.
Indeed.
Yeah, it was just incredible. Really good. Even though I still prefer the original movie to that movie, but
yes.
It's definitely my second favourite in the series.
100%.
Yeah, it was great. Really good. Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic in that film.
Hands down.
She needs to win awards for it, I'm hoping.
I'm really hoping so too.
But horrors don't normally get nominated, do they?
That's always like the bastard thing, isn't it? Mm. Because it's a horror, rarely do horrors get nominated. Although then again, like last year, like Get Out got nominated for a lot of awards.
Mm.
But then again, you're sort of thinking, is Get Out because it's a good horror movie, which it was, or is it because it was done by a black director and everything was sort of that kind of politics?
Yeah.
But, you know, but I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis in this movie, she
has done the role of the century.
Mm.
Loved it a bit in it. And so I really hope it gets a bit of a kicking in there. I really hope she gets a chance.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Great timing, Mom. Hi.
It ran late. I'm sorry.
Hi, Laurie.
Hi. I'm the grandmother.
I'm Cameron Elam.
And we're here celebrating our daughter.
Yes, I know. How did it go? Yes, it looks good on you. You know, I was in the Honor Society, too.
Why don't you sit down, Mom?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, have a seat.
We could go
really,
for a walk.
Did it go great?
Yeah, it went really. Hey, Mom.
That's mine.
I thought you quit drinking.
Mm.
Mom, what are you doing? What is this? You know, this is exactly why we don't reach out.
Mom.
I'm sorry. I will sit down.
Okay. Why don't we press the reset button? Why don't we just start over, okay? All right, Mom.
Sorry.
Mom.
You stop this.
Sorry. I saw him in the shape.
Mom.
I wanted to kill him.
Okay, that's enough, Lori.
I don't know what to do.
That's enough, Lori.
Okay. Okay, maybe this is a little bit too much for you, huh? Why don't we go for a walk, all right? You said you were going to try to put the past behind you, okay? Are you going to try to do that? That's what you said you wanted to do.
I can't.
Mom, look at me. Look at me.
I
really hate to say I told you so, but...
Thinking, well, for me, it's a bit different, actually. Movies, there were a lot of movies I watched, but not enough, you know. Like, I didn't go into a lot of the art house stuff this year, which I felt a little disappointed at. Although the ones I did do, maybe didn't really tickle me right. Like, I saw Mandy.
All right, yeah, because there was a lot of build-up hype for that. And some people who've been excited about it, I mean, I've not seen it, have been disappointed by it.
Well, I wouldn't say disappointed. I think the thing is, a movie has some amazing, mind-blowing bits, right?
Mm.
And then there's some really questionable bits that you don't know what they're doing there for, and then it becomes a slog, and then you're just kind of feeling like you're being dragged through the mud, and you're not sure whether that's the intention or whether you genuinely are not liking the movie.
Mm.
I mean, when I saw it in the cinema, I was sort of like in the, what is this moment? I had no, like, opinion.
Yeah.
And this is Nicolas Cage we're talking about, you know. Yeah. This is Nicolas Cage, which we will talk about.
He's meant to be really good in it. Is he good?
He is really good in it,
yeah.
But then he's also playing Nicolas Cage at number 11.
Right.
You know, so he's like, he's pumped up to 11, he's playing Nicolas Cage on full max mode. But then you also see him doing subtle, but then you're thinking, this doesn't work. You're either one or the other.
Yeah.
So Mandy, I remember it, but I don't like it. A movie, I mean, I can throw things like Hereditary in there, I can throw Infinity War in there,
yeah.
I can throw quite a few things when it comes to movies, but it's kind of just hard to pinpoint.
Is it hard for you to pick one, then?
Yeah, I think it's one to pick one, but although there's one I saw very again recently that it's stuck in my mind for all the good reasons, and it's my kind of film, and it's my kind of thing that's sort of weird and quirky, and I love that kind of stuff,
yeah.
And it would be, if it was done a bit cheaply, it could have been a Trash Tapes episode, but it's done perfectly well, and I think for me, the movie of the year, because I remember and I enjoyed the whole experience, and even the bittersweet ending, is Upgrade.
All right, yeah, I've not seen it. I've heard about it, though. Yeah,
I was actually really sort of surprised with Upgrade.
Mm.
Because one thing I love is, like, science is, like, the weird, like, near-science fiction dystopia kind of, like, future where, you know, science fiction is very close to ours.
Mm.
I always love that kind of thing, as you know. I love gore. And this movie has gore in spades. And, like, there's a whole sequence where a man rips another man's jaw off. And you're thinking, whoa! Did not expect this coming! And then, you know, it has a sense of humour, but then it's also self-knowing. But then it's also dark, and it's also got all these elements. It feels like a Black Mirror episode pushed to 11.
Right.
Right?
Cool.
And I really, really liked it. I think it was really, really fun, and so underrated.
Yeah.
So for me... You know, even though I've seen all these films that have moved me and I've liked and have made me think and questioning, the one I had the most fun with, definitely Upgrade.
As a quadriplegic, it must be frustrating for you, someone who likes to get things done with their hands.
Here's the thing. Four guys murdered my wife.
If I could find this man, I'd do it.
What if I told you I could offer you something that would enable you to walk again? I call it STEM, a computer chip that has the potential to change everything. It's a new, better brain.
I am STEM, the system operating your body for you.
Can anybody else hear you?
No, only you. May I point something out? In the drone surveillance footage,
Zerk Brantner, Marine Corps, address 414 Citrus, New Ground.
We'll need a plan.
I got this.
This doesn't seem like a well-thought-out plan.
I need your permission to operate independently.
Permission granted!
Thank you. What do you think I should do?
Move, Gray.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Man, you are persistent.
I cannot allow us to be killed. We are going to finish the job we started.
You didn't know that I'm a ninja.
While I am state-of-the-art, I am not a ninja.
Talking of Black Mirror, Bandersnatch has really been released recently. I've really enjoyed that.
Yes.
It's a cool experience. It's not my favourite Black Mirror, but I love the interactive element. And because, you know, we're into our games and stuff as well. Yeah. So it's like, it was like watching TV and playing a game at the same time, which is like really good for me. Like, I really enjoyed it.
So when you played the first time round, what kind of pathways did you go to? Which ones did you kind of notice? Did you go like the good endings, the bad endings, the weird endings? Because there's quite a few.
I was deliberately picking options that I that it would make the story go to a dark place.
Oh, you went the dark ending.
Yeah.
So
you know, I was like, I want, like, for example, I wanted him to go with his mum to the train station, to go onto the train, to actually die with his mum. It's such a moving, like, ending.
That's sort of the happy end. That's like the bittersweet happy ending, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Because it's... Yeah, but I wanted to see that. It's like, it was weird. I kind of want to see certain outcomes, even though I know he'll die. Like,
did you get the beheading ending?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, you should. That is my favourite ending.
We only watched it sort of in one session, so we did a few goes of different choices and stuff.
My favourite ending is that one. My favourite ending is that one where Bandersnatch becomes a huge success.
Mm.
But it's because he does something very dark with his dad.
Right.
Oh, sweet Jesus. And you're thinking, oh. And what's cool thing is, like, there's like two main endings, right? Because you see, you know, those are the right endings because the credits roll afterwards, yeah? And I think I actually end up playing it a few times. Because there are other endings that sort of like change your choices because it feels like it ends too early or it's a bit of a naff ending, and you notice they're a naff ending because it kind of wraps up with the guy talking about how the game's a bit naff.
Yeah,
but overall it was really, really good. There's one bit, I'm not sure if you got this, did you get the point where it got really weird and meta and became an advert for Netflix?
I found that very funny. I found the humour in that really good.
It's like, I'm being controlled by someone from the 21st century on a thing called Netflix.
Yeah, I deliberately picked that to see what would happen.
Like, it got weird, didn't it?
Yeah.
By that point, you know, you can end up fighting the therapist or trying to escape out the window and realise you're on a TV set. I was like, that is meta as all hell. But I think that's what I loved about this. I mean, is it the best Black Mirror episode? No, but is it a fun one? Definitely.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that maybe we should be doing more interactive things like this, but it could be an option. You know, I would love if there was more interactive movies or TV shows like this.
I definitely think if we make a short film again, I think we should try and make it interactive.
Well, like alternate endings and stuff.
Well, we could have like... we've spoke about making a short with us in, haven't we? And we could have like an option where it's a mysterious game that we pick, or it's a mysterious movie, and and we'd have to film both scenarios.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. So, you guys have a think about that one.
Yeah. So that I thought that'd be kind of cool because then it would be showing off either show, like Trash Tapes or Enigmatic Play.
Ooh, that could work.
But
it's up to you.
Just all sort of in the ideas phase, but yeah. I thought I'd talk about it on this show.
On this retrospective episode, yeah. Because maybe you never know. By the end of 2019, you might have an interactive Bandersnatch sort of thing. I'm just going to throw one more TV show that I really liked that I don't think a lot of people got a lot of love for, and I feel disappointed that no one really fell for it, and that is Maniac.
No, I heard a lot of people recommending that and really loving it, but I watched a bit of the first episode and didn't let myself get into it enough to keep going with it.
I get it, because I think the world's a bit weird. It's sort of an alternative future, but it's like an almost alternative timeline where the 80s and 90s were very much prominent in like sort of that tech area. Mm. So it's like the weird 80s and 90s tech, but more in our time period.
Yeah.
So it's very weird because you have loads of it's retrospectively like what was the people thought the future was going to be in the 80s and 90s kind of thing with the tech and everything else. And it's pretty decent because, you know, Jonah Hill actually does a really good role in it. You know, you have quite a few characters and actors in there who are really sort of going full force with it. The whole like the look of it, the weird sort of going into people's dreams and trying to change their psychology out of that, the drug taking. It's all really, really fascinating stuff. And it also allows them to almost play multiple different characters as well. So you have elements where, you know, you are in sort of this weird sort of Bonnie and Clyde 80s movie. Then there's a bit where there's like Lord of the Rings and another bit where you're like in this bizarre spy movie. And you've got all these sort of weird sort of subgenres in this entire show, all explained by the fact that they're in other people's heads and dreams.
Cool. You definitely sold it to me. I think I'll check it out. Yeah.
Check it out. And I swear, it'll be very pleasantly surprised. And I think it's just the weird kind of quirky that I think we're into.
Mm. It begins like this. 2 billion years ago, an amoeba. Wait, let's back up. I've skipped too many connections. Out of nothing, in an instant, everything. An infinite cosmic orgy of matter and energy, rubbing, bumping, and grinding together. There would be no galaxies, no suns, no planets, no life without collisions of heavenly bodies. Back to our amoeba. It engulfs a bacterium with unique powers, and voila! Earth's first photosynthesis-enabled organism. Maybe it was chance. Maybe it was inevitable. This one changed amoeba becomes the ancestor of every living plant on Earth, which in turn floods the planet with oxygen, paving the way for every other form of life we know. Leading to more souls, more connections, and therefore more new worlds branching outward from the first. These forces of nature, when they converge, be they astronomical collisions, biological unions, demonstrate the infinite potential of our connections.
Right, what we'll do is we're going to go through the whole podcast as we've gone through. Like, we started recording in January 2018 when we said, like, I want to start doing a show. Let's start doing a podcast. I came to you and said, I got an idea. We need to bloody do it. Mm. And I think I remember I had a completely different idea for our first movie, but we struggled to find it until you, not knowing what it was, said, I found this movie called Troll 2.
Yeah, no, it was on Netflix, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so because we couldn't find the original movie you wanted to watch, I picked one, and it was Troll 2, and you went, that's absolutely perfect.
And I said, oh my God, and I love how, this is what made me fall in love with this idea for this podcast, is how naive you were, and how you had no idea that this was like one of the most famous bad movies of all time when you selected it. You said, I saw this thing and it looks terrible, but I have no idea what it is. I was like, oh, you have not seen Troll 2. This is perfect. So
what's great, though, is I started like that and I'm slowly transforming. I'm like, I've subscribed to Shudder because there's a lot of trashy like horror movies on there.
Yes.
And like I started getting movies on VHS and stuff and like more often and collecting those, and I'm just slowly going to get catch you up, I think, in terms of rolling for trash. And
yes,
that's
indeed.
Gonna be interesting, but it's gonna be like I'll be knowledgeable about certain films that you perhaps don't know and stuff like that.
More than likely, because you know, I've my hunt for bad movies sort of kicked in when I was like 16 or 17, where I realized that, you know, there are bad movies out there, and not all bad movies can be a bad watch. You can sit there and enjoy it. Mm. And that's when I started discovering it. But, you know, it's still a like a learning curve. There's still so much out there that I still have not had a chance to look at.
Yeah.
There's loads I have heard of and loads I know the backstory of and so on, you know, but there's some which are like, they're like myths and legends now. Yeah, it's like trying to find the fucking Holy Grail.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And getting those movies on tape sometimes is very rare, and they can go for a lot of money, can't they?
Like, yeah.
If there wasn't many of them made and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes even just finding some of them on DVD are really difficult.
Mm.
You know, this is now starting to become round where we're trying to do the bootleg things, or we have to find someone who's kind enough to have uploaded the whole thing on YouTube. You know? So we got in. We got watched Troll 2. We had our setup, not knowing pretty much what's going to happen when we first saw this. So, and I'm so glad that not only you picked Troll 2, but I'm so glad that you were so on board with it.
Yeah. No. Well, the thing is, it's crazy because that was the first episode, and yet it's still my favourite episode.
Yeah.
Because I think that it kickstarted the show so well.
Yes.
And it summed up what we wanted to do with that TV show, with that podcast.
Yeah.
Like, straight away in the first episode, we had established what we are, like, straight away.
We are terrible, terrible people who just want to watch terrible, terrible movies. And it was so much fun. Like, we were talking, we were laughing, we were bantering.
Get in the car, Joshua. Come on, hurry.
Number one. This is the thing. Go back a bit.
The soot on his face or whatever it is. It's just actually accenting his cheekbones. It's like...
You look ravishing for a hobo, mate. You look great.
Look. It's got like...
Dramatic look.
It's got excellent cheekbones.
No.
This is my house.
Oh, she's the best.
This is my house.
Oh my god.
I know, right? When you came round earlier,
yeah.
I should have said that when you entered the
house. This is my house.
So basically, she's somehow skeptical, but she drinks it first.
Mm.
And she turns into. She basically starts bleeding green. Like we've seen in the opening cutscenes, like, oh no, she's turning green. And she goes up the stairs. Weirdly, I don't know why she's going up the stairs, but she's going up the stairs. And the guy is still holding the...
So, yeah, I'm gonna have this. I'm just going to watch what happens, and then I'm going to have it myself.
Right. And the thing is, like, he's still holding it, and he's still looking up, what's happening with her? And she's coughing green goo.
I'm just remembering the scene, like, his reactions again. Like, yeah.
So by this point, this is probably the infamous scene from the whole movie. This is the one that gets mocked constantly every time on YouTube videos and everything else. This is the thing that gets seen the most.
They're eating her.
Oh my god.
Me. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness, that was perfect.
Like this place, not one bit.
Oh my god.
My sweet Jesus. That was the best. I was waiting.
His reaction is the best thing.
It's so like, I can't do any emotion whatsoever. He's like a plank of wood. It's so good.
They're eating her.
And they're gonna eat me. Oh my god. It's like it's like he's a little annoyed.
But it's like him not being the best actor in the world,
yeah.
Like, to put it politely, when he says, oh my god, it's just like, oh my god.
It's a long tone, and his face doesn't even change. It's like Botox. It just stays the same.
I imagine, like, if they did multiple takes, the director was trying to communicate, like, just all right, if you can't put any more emotion into it, just say it a bit longer. Maybe that'll, like...
Keep it going.
Give the impression that it's a bit more kind of distressing. I was like, at that for that particular point, I was laughing so much that my stomach was hurting.
Oh, God, it was the best. So many random bits we could talk about, but, you know, if you really want to pay attention to it, just subscribe to the podcast and listen to it as a whole. But there are some corkers. Like, the acting was fantastic.
I mean, the highlight is the classic, oh, my God. So I was waiting for that because I had seen that clip before. But I loved the bit with the bloody popcorn.
Yes, the popcorn sex!
That's just
that was amazing.
And is probably my personal highlight of that episode. Like watching that, oh god, that bit.
That broke you. I think when that happened, you were just going, like, I can't stop. Why is popcorn happening? And then we tried to break down why the popcorn existed, because the popcorn came from the sky. Even though they were having a corn on the cob in their mouth while they were grinding, and you're like, well, okay, so where's the popcorn come from? And clearly, there's just a guy offset just throwing buckets of popcorn.
It's so weird. It's really good.
The green gun and everything else.
Yeah, they're definitely my two highlights of that
one. One of my favourite, it's the whole bit became the running gag, is that we have, like, the preacher man who's also Ted DiBiase. that, for me, was a cork. That was a highlight of that one. And just thinking, oh, my God, we've got a professional wrestler trying to... who's the army of the troll people. So, the thing is, definitely the first episode is definitely one of my favourites. It was the most fun to watch. It was all brand new and fresh. Mm. And it's so much fun. I still would recommend watching that movie 100%. But I think what we're going to have to do for every episode now is, now we have a new rating system.
Yeah.
We need to really put this onto the rating system.
Mm.
So, for those who are new to the podcast, what the hell you're listening to the retrospective for, go back and listen to a few episodes. Mm. But we have now a rating system where we sort of rate how trashy or in our words, how enjoyable watching this movie was.
Yeah.
So we have tame, which basically is boring and we're not having fun with it. Tiny bit trashy means we enjoyed it but could be better.
Mm.
Trashy means it's the perfect sweet spot.
That's like on the money, isn't it? Like, yeah.
Yeah, on the money.
Mm.
Too trashy means that it was starting to get too much for us, but we enjoyed it, but maybe it got to a point where it felt a little bit off or too uncomfortable or whatever. And then torture, which literally is we hated it. Like, we hate it, and it's because we were angry at it, or we just despised it, or it was too much, whatever. We actually hated it, which is a rarity, because I don't hate a lot of things, but when I do hate something, I hate it with a glorious passion.
So, in my opinion, on the trashometer, Troll 2 needs to either be trash or too trashy. It kind of needs to, because it is very, very trashy.
It is, but I think every bit of that trashiness is on the nose, spot on, because it doesn't overstay its welcome or feel like it's off. Every time something happens, something really happens and we're bawling. Yeah. Like, for example, the kid just smacked the grandpa, for example. The whole thing with granddad is so ridiculous. He stops time and then tells the kid to pee in the punch bowl.
Why is he so powerful? He's a powerful being.
He's this powerful fuck-off wizard. But he's not the best wizard, but he's definitely the wizard, because we have other episodes with wizards in it.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's going to kick in. So I actually say this is trashy, like on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'll agree with that then.
Perfect. Yeah. After that, I said to you I wanted to show you something really gory, right? And I showed you that one. And this one was, basically, I only got because of, you know, Rutger Hauer, which happens to be because it's like, you know what? This is the guy from fucking Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And now he is a hobo with a shotgun.
Yeah. See, this episode was interesting because it's like, I kind of like the movie, but I talked about that, I kind of gave up the first time I watched it. I didn't watch the whole thing. So I did on the episode, and glad that I did watch the whole thing.
Yes.
But it was a bit much. It's a bit much. It's a hard slog, that movie, even though it's quite short.
Even though it was quite short, it felt really long.
Mm.
And I think it's because the movie's relentless. Like, it doesn't stop with the gore and the violence and the sex. And I mean, like, and I'm not meaning that, like, to sound like a prude.
Mm.
But to be a bit prudish, it was a bit much. Yeah. Like, there was no chance for you to relax and release. And when he did do it, it was, like, literally, like, whiplash. Because there were moments like, someone's head's been chopped off, followed by, now let's play some quiet music while we talk about bears.
it did that thing, you know, where it tries to kind of put the comedy in there as relief.
Yes.
But it's a bit odd, misplaced and stuff, isn't it? It's kind of like... But I don't know. Would it have been better without that, or like?
I think it would have been better if there was a more build up to the violence rather than starting off right at the beginning with something nasty.
Mm.
Like if it got nastier as the movie went on, then we would have probably appreciated more. But the very first 10 minutes is a man with a bloody thing around his head, and then getting his head ripped off by a car in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh God!
With that one, it's difficult to pinpoint highlights, isn't it? Like, what's your favourite bit and things like that?
It wasn't a favourite bit, but there were some corkers in there, though. Like, there are some corkers. Loads of them were, like, nasty deaths or things that happen randomly. Like a baseball bat full of razor blades.
Yeah.
Or a
bus full of kids getting set on fire. This is horrible
to even Disco to Inferno!
It's horrible even to say that.
That one was nasty. That was actually, I think, the most memorable bit of the movie, but it's also the nastiest and most uncomfortable. Because they're like saying, it's like, hey, do you like ice cream? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's like, do you like music? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you like hobos? Hey, I hate hobos! And just launches a fiery blaze on a bus, and at one point, the last shot is a kid literally on fire, scratching onto the wheel. Oh, God, it's nasty.
It's so weird. Actually, thinking about it, the knights, the assassins that are knights?
Yes!
They are so cool.
They were awesome. They went into a hospital and ransacked everything, and it was the coolest thing. And they only appeared in the last 20 minutes.
Mm.
And it's a real shame. I mean, I would watch a whole movie with those guys.
Yeah, they're really, like, charismatic villains. They are. I just loved them.
Even though they were basically, like, weird, like, medieval Daleks, they were so awesome. They were on the ball. I had a good time with them. And, yeah, I think it's a movie that, watching back, and even thinking about it now, you're right, it's really hard to find highlights. And when you do, you feel exhausted.
Yeah. So where would it fall on the trashometer?
Too trashy.
Yeah.
I think this would fall under too trashy.
I've said that, because we agree on these a lot.
Yeah.
It's definitely too trashy. There's no other rating for it. It can't be trash, because there's too much.
It's too much, but it's not torture.
Yeah.
Because if it was torture, we would have hated the entire experience, but we didn't, because there were some moments where we're like, oh! But I think it's because it got to the point there was so much violence that I almost became, like, unfazed by it until they did something nastier. And you're thinking, how nasty are you going to go with this?
Yeah. I mean, props to the guys. They managed it up the game. Like,
every time.
It's like, how can we make this more disgusting? And they did.
They did. Like, what was a bit? There was a bit with chainsaws and... Oh, the bit with a chainsaw, and there's bits with just... Oh, my God, just random stuff. And this is weird, because half is tongue-in-cheek, and you can tell half is tongue-in-cheek, but you can also tell the other half is very serious.
Yeah.
So it doesn't know whether to be full-blown slapstick or to be taken so seriously within this world of nasty violence. And I think that would really kind of put us off a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much.
I mean, there's quite... Since that movie, there's been a few other movies like that, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Like, I saw one that was crowdfunding, it's not been made yet, that was called, like... it was, like, something like Robo-Pope or something.
Robo-Pope! Yes!
It was something like... That might not be the title.
Oh, I want Robo-Pope to exist
now. It's definitely something Pope, and he's definitely a robot. I think it's Robo-Pope. It's like Hobo with a Shotgun. It's ridiculous and very violent, and, you know, it's...
I definitely want this movie to exist. I want a Robo-Pope. And I want, and I know you don't want Robo-Pope, which I'm assuming is like Robocop, but, you know, like a priest.
Yeah.
But also, oh God, oh, it's going to sound really nasty, but I bet you there's going to be some kind of child molestation joke in that. It's going to have to be. It's Robo-Pope, for God's sake. Poking for the Catholic Church. Boom.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the title. It should be the title if it's not.
Robo-Pope. If not, we're going to make Robo-Pope.
It just sounds great to say.
Oh my God, would his Pope-mobile be like a Batmobile? Just robotic Pope-mobile. Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Right, so Sean Connery. This was episode 3. And we did...
Zardoz!
Zardoz! Which... It's the first one I bought on DVD. Because I have had to actually start scouring for these films. And I swear to God, my Amazon is looking very weird these days. Like, I'm looking for the weirdest, like, trashiest 60s, 70s, 80s movies. And some of them are really hard to find. And found Zardoz for about £6. I regret spending that £6.
Now, this is a movie that, even if you haven't seen it,
yes,
you're aware of the imagery of Sean Connery.
Well, the image,
yeah,
which is Sean Connery in a mankini,
yeah,
holding a with like a ponytail,
yeah, and Lara Croft
ponytail, and holding a revolver in the middle of the desert. It's such a weird ass image. Yeah. A giant floating head, yeah, and you know, and the sexless sex people, and okay, so. This one was, I think, the first one where we started to feel frustrated, you know, and because we weren't, like, in the first two, we were enjoying ourselves, yeah, you know. This first one was all fun. Second one was a bit much. This one, I think, we were starting to get annoyed at it. Mm. But we were not getting annoyed because it was so terrible. I think it's because it was starting to become, this was a different one. It was getting pretentious. Yeah. Didn't know what it was wanting.
I mean, usually you would find that very funny, you know, when a movie's taking itself seriously and it's just hilarious.
Yes.
But it got to the point where it was a little bit annoying,
yeah,
didn't
it? It got kind of annoying with its trying to, like, shove its how smart it is in his face.
I mean, I was all in when it was saying, when it was doing stuff like, the gun is good.
The penis is evil.
All that stuff was happening. I was like, this is perfect. This is great.
It's like, we're on the nose here. We're right into it. And then it gets to all the other stuff. And then the whole thing with the library, which was weird. And the whole thing about... And the whole thing, basically, they're in a sexless world because the immortals can't have sex because they don't need sex because they're immortal. And they're just fascinated by Sean Connery's penis. Mm. And then you've got the weird people who are basically just have never touched anything. Like, the people who are the apathetics who don't have any form of touch.
Yeah.
And then you've got the rabid, crazy old people. And then you're thinking, what's happening here? And then you have a diamond and the floating head again, and you're like, it's like, and then it ends on a skeleton.
Yeah, no, it's a ridiculous film. It's really ridiculous.
Oh, maybe should I do the opening as if I was doing it in Sean Connery's voice? Should I try it?
I'll
let me do a test first before anything. It's like, greetings and welcome to the Trash Tapes. Oh, the tabernacle. I can't. Pistol or the penis. Seems that you've got your magical doodahs ready. I can't do it. I can't do Sean Connery.
It's a kind of like a Scottish monster.
I just kind of broke into it, didn't I? Alright, okay. There will be moments where I'll go into the Sean Connery, but I don't think I'm going to do it justice. He finds a topless lady. He goes and investigates a topless lady. Yeah. He runs towards a lake. And then suddenly another woman shows up.
Yeah.
And just walks towards him. And he's like, I'm going to shoot you. And
she's like overlaid with the lake, the image of the lake.
Which,
as well.
Why?
It's just like arty crap, and it's like really pretentious. It's like, no, I'm gonna put the lake, an image of some footage of the lake over this woman.
It's like,
why?
It's like a reflection. It's fluid. It's like whatever. It's just stupid, right? So she walks, and she walks towards and finds Sean Connery, and Sean Connery's about to shoot, and then somehow using what seems to be mind bullets.
Jesus.
Just shoots Sean Connery down using her mind.
Yeah.
And that's when we realise these immortals also have magical mind powers, which is fucking stupid anyway, but they do it like that. And I love how Sean Connery reacts. It's just like,
There's lots of, like, really overdramatic kind of sort of gurning and stuff, isn't there? Kind of like,
whenever there's a crowd, every single time there's a whole bunch of people making weird noises and faces.
Mm.
Like, it's either like a ooh or ah or nah. These people don't make noises like this.
No, not at all.
So.
when he's giving the tour of the world, he also says that there's not just immortals living in this world. There are renegades, which are old people, literally old people who have gone crazy.
Yeah.
And then something called the apathetics, which are people who have no emotion and just stand there like literal, like mannequins. Yeah. And he goes in there and at one point, literally out of fucking nowhere, Sean Connery goes up to this one woman and just molests her.
She's like, I'm going to have a go on your breast.
Literally just grabs an arm and goes, but then, honk, honk.
What was so great is the friend character says something like, do you want this person to be my guest? He picks her up like a doll and takes her off. Just shoves her on the hay. Right, I'm going to have a way with you. But then she's just like, just lying there, like dead to the world. Yeah. And he's like, well, this is no fun, is it?
It's like, I prefer when they struggle.
Yeah.
Frustrating because it is try so hard. But there are some moments of pure genius and some moments which were hilarious because of it.
Mm.
Like, I personally had a good time. To a point.
Yeah.
Like, to a point. Like, there's some bits like, this is genius. We got to see Sean Connery in a wedding dress. that bit was amazing. Like, in the podcast...
I'm surprised that bit isn't more, like, a thought of in terms of, like, on the internet.
Yeah.
It's harder to find... Well, it's not hard to find that image, but if you type in Zardos, you get the main image.
Yes.
But that is hilarious, the image.
We did not see that coming.
No.
And when that happened, we're like, whoa! Well done! And you look, and you can tell he was not happy in it.
And the thing is, normally you'd have to pay an actor a lot of money to do something like that. And Sean Connery didn't get much money at all.
He got paid pittance!
Yeah.
In fact, he gave money to the movie, basically. Oh, so funny. And the thing is, there were some bits which were actually, again, the movie actually had some really ingenious bits. Like, we were joking, like, you know, half the things are basically what Apple products do. And, you know, like Siri and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay. But then you just do stupid shit along the way. Like what was it? Like, the bit where they're, like, in this weird-ass sort of bubble thing. Like, he's being wrapped around it, like, you cannot penetrate this, you can't penetrate the womb, which is like this weird ass, like, plastic bag. And then he breaks out of the plastic bag, and everyone doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then there's like, oh, and then like, you're in the diamond, and half it looks like a music video. And then they have sex, but when they have sex with an immortal, they're sharing their knowledge, and you're like, oh my god, my head hurts. And then there's a Wizard of Oz, and oh, I'm getting a headache already.
Trashometer then for Zardos.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm very tempted to put it as torture, but I don't think it's reached the point where I hate this movie so much that I wouldn't watch it again.
Because reflecting back on it, my memory of it is kind of good. I do remember not enjoying it that much, but like on the whole, I love the fact that we got a really good episode out of it, and that's entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, and like even all the antics and all the jokes and everything else was really sort of random and hilarious. So I'd say too trashy on this one.
Yeah, too trashy.
Too trashy, 100%. Yeah. And
you're right, it is tempting to get it up.
This one's close.
Yeah.
This one's close to get nearly up there.
Yeah.
Now, this one's an interesting one, because this one's actually sort of your recommendation on that one, which was really good. This was the first episode you recommended, and it's one that I don't remember seeing as a kid a while ago. I remember watching this watching ages ago, but then realising that, you know, this one's considered the worst in the franchise, and how it wasn't. And now, what I love about it is that this movie, which happened to be the fourth episode, has now become sort of it's actually become its own cult classic.
Yeah.
And it's fallen on the radar, and I think it's actually a really good film overall. Like, actually a good movie, not like a trashy film.
It's got a really bad name. It's very underrated. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Especially watching it again now, like at this age, it was really enjoyable horror. I really liked it because when I saw it when I was younger.
Yes.
Or the subplot stuff kind of just went over my head. Yeah.
But now looking back at it, it's amazing how Nightmare on Elm Street 2 actually has got the one which has the surprisingly the most substance, but also has the most conflict and the most things. The backstory for this film is amazing for it. Mm. How the director had no idea that it was a sexual, homoerotic sexual parable, while the writer and half the cast so knew it.
Mm.
And you can see the clashing of the minds and how, you know, how they were trying to make an LGBT gay horror movie.
Yeah.
And that is, and looking at it, it's like, that's really interesting. And, you know, that is a subgenre on itself, and it's a subgenre that's not been touched upon.
Yeah, because it's clear, obviously, the director just wanted, like, 80s macho, didn't he? Like,
yeah, yeah. He saw the homoeroticism as 80s macho, while everyone else clearly saw it as for the homoeroticism that it was.
Yeah.
You know, by the casting of certain people, or certain actions that Freddy Krueger did, or certain lines and characters, you know, like, you've got the body, I have the brains, we work well together, you and I. You know, it's like, and the whole story is how Freddy Krueger wants to get inside him. Yeah. Like, how much more on the nose is that?
Yeah, like, my highlight of that episode is the, it's got to be the dance, though.
Yes! I forgot about the dance, and then when the dance happened, and you saw the booty shake, and he's dancing to, like, proper diva music as well.
It's got, like, the hair, singing to the hairbrush, he's going for it.
He's going for it. And this is the thing, I bet you, if you were an 80s teen, like, if you were an 80s teenager, and you're watching that movie, and you were like, in the closet, and you were gay, and you're looking at that, and you say, oh my god, that's me! That's me. And even then, like, you know, I bet you everyone's had a moment where Whitney Houston's popped on, and you just want to do a bit of a twerk, and you can't care about it, you know? I've fallen in love with this film, and I enjoyed 100% as a good movie, not as a trashy movie. So this one, in terms of, like, where this falls on the trashometer, is going to be a bit difficult for me, because trashy means, like, it's on the nose, it's great, but it's not because it's trashy. In fact, I don't find it trashy at all.
I think it should be a tiny bit trashy.
Yes.
On the trashometer, because it has got a little bit of trashiness in there. Mm. But other than that, it's just a good film.
It's just a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, and it's underrated, and I think it's a great LGBT classic. So I think this one should definitely be one of the books. So if you haven't had a chance to watch that one, watch it. And if you have seen it but you haven't heard our episode, definitely listen to it, because we really break it down into how much of a missed opportunity this film was. Okay, so right. So I remember the fifth one. I do remember what it was. I don't want to talk about it. This is our video game episode. This is because... And this was
that is something that we're going to revisit, video game episodes, isn't it?
We will, like, do.
Each year.
Each maybe. Year we'll do a video game movie. But I hate the fact we've got for this one. And so we went... And this was because we were originally going to do an enigmatic play of the 25th or 30th anniversary or something
30th,
like that? 30th anniversary of Street Fighter, right?
Yeah.
And so we thought to ourselves, why not we just rewatch Street Fighter the movie?
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
It was awful. Oh my god, I fucking hated it.
Yeah.
This one was by far the worst movie we watched. And not because it was trashy or anything else. It was the most annoying, frustrating, badly toned, badly everything. And the thing is, if you're a fan of Street Fighter, it makes it even worse. And the backstory for it, again, backstory for Street Fighter, the movie, is far more interesting than the actual movie itself. And if you listen to the podcast, there's loads of it. But how, for example, like, it was nearly like a $10,000 cocaine habit a week for Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Crazy.
How Kylie Minogue was having an affair with Coach Jean-Claude Van Damme. How...
I bet she's so ashamed of that now.
Oh, yeah, 100%. How Raul Julia was on the verge of death. You know, how no one had an idea what this movie was supposed to be. And it is just... Oh, my sweet Jesus, the worst.
I can't even pinpoint a highlight of... I mean, the episode is quite... If you check out the episode, it is enjoyable because of how much anger we have towards the movie, and also talking about the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff to do with it. So it's a good episode to listen to, but it's really difficult to get through that movie, isn't it?
It's still it's one of the toughest films we got through. And it's because... I'm not sure whether it's because of video game bias, because we were so into the games and we just loved the game so much that we couldn't tolerate it. But it was overall just ham-fisted and off, and nothing made sense, and so everything was so out of character, and everything just, it didn't feel like any respect to the property was done.
No.
And I think any kind of adaptation needs some kind of respect, and this had no respect. And that's the thing, right? Okay, now, if you've watched this, if you've ever watched this movie without understanding a thing about Street Fighter, you'd still think it's a terrible movie. But it would make, it would just be, like, very shallow and, like, non-existent, and all the references would make no sense, right? But watching it knowing who the Street Fighter characters are, especially if you're a fan of Street Fighter 2...
It's even worse.
It's even worse! It's like, not only is it a bad movie for people who've never seen Street played Street Fighter games, it's even worse for anyone who's even touched the controller or knows who any of these characters are, right? And this is why it's deflating. Majority of the commentary is actually us going, that's not like the game. What the fuck is this? Who is this? Why is that guy a dickhead? What's this guy? You're not even tall enough. You're the wrong ethnicity. How are you this?
Why is Balrog a cameraman? I'm sorry.
Why is Balrog a cameraman? Why is E. Honda a Samoan? Right?
Ryu what? And Ken, dick gangster guys.
Why are they arms dealers? Where are they there in the first place? Why is Guile, who is supposedly an American, played by Jean-Claude fucking Van Damme, who can't even attempt an American accent, and clearly is high on coke? And this is where we're introduced to probably the thing that frustrated you the most, is everything involving Ryu, Ken, and Sagat.
Yeah.
So you want to explain what the heck happened here?
Well, it seems like you're introduced to them and they're in the middle of some kind of deal.
Yes.
Like some kind of arms deal or something like that. And immediately you're thinking, why are Ryu and Ken in this situation? Why would they be like that? And like, it just... It angers me so much because, you know, they're both supposed to be, like, masters of, like, some kind of karate. I can't remember the name of it. And they're all their interest, really, is to master their martial arts and, you know, be the best at that martial art. They're not interested in dealing arms and kind of, like...
I know! Like, they seem to be like, oh, we're smuggling guns here. I was like, why? None of this makes sense at all.
And the kind of relationship that they have with Sagat is almost like, well, we don't like you, but we want to make a deal with you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It always seems to be like the kind of like, not fully sort of, they don't fully hate him.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? They're kind of like, well, if he's going to benefit us, we'll go along with Sagat, kind of thing. And it's just the opposite of what should be happening with these characters.
I know. It's the legit... It's like Bizarro World. It's the complete opposite. So Sagat, who is very tiny in this movie... In the video game, Sagat is supposed to be like 7'5" and the world's best kickboxer, and he is your favorite character, right?
Yeah, to play with, yeah, because he's like a great martial artist, but very very strong as well. So he's kind of got both skills.
He's got
there.
The best of both worlds, basically.
And he's a really intimidating looking character on the screen. He's like takes up like the whole screen.
He takes up half the screen, like legit. He's massive.
And in this movie, they just seem to get any guy with a shaved head and put an eye patch on him.
It's and like, there you go. And basically, he now looks like, again, going for the James Bond thing that clearly the director was going for. He is, you are my number one guy, basically, right? He is! You are my number one guy. You are basically, you are number one henchman. So Guy has become number one henchman. And that's it, right?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ooh. Yes, that is a gun. Yes, that is a gun. Hello, it's a gun.
Yeah, they look like they don't know what they're doing.
It's like, ooh, yes, that, yes, this is definitely a gun. I'm good. Pass it over. Maybe you know how to do it more. Oh, this definitely is a gun. Of course. Ooh, I like half a country. Although I don't know if I want to be half of Bisonopolis. If you were going to name a country or a city, what would you call it?
Meanwhile.
If it's, even if it's like something stupid like after yourself. Because I'd call mine Chiptopia 100%. Chiptopia. All right, so would. My God. Why make this so elaborate? Like, if you just want to blow them up, just blow them up, right?
Make it like a shitty video.
Mm. Why do this over-elaborate plan?
Quick, change the channel!
Oh, Zangief. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah! Woo!
Tuesday line could be a highlight.
Yes, it's like
that's the best part of the movie.
I love the
do you know the line? Can you say the line?
Yes, yes. It's like, for you, this it was the worst day of your life. For me, it was a Tuesday.
It's just so great.
I think the only saving grace of the whole movie is Raul Julia.
Yeah.
Because Raul Julia says lines like the dumbest lines, like the dumbest lines, like it's Hamlet.
Mm.
And you need someone with that kind of balls and that kind of conviction to play someone like M. Bison. And yes, he's not. Was he perfect for the role? Not really. But what he did was make it funnier to tolerate the movie. Like, there were bits where he would just say, like, the dumbest stuff. And there's a bit where he's going through Bisonopolis and he's just, like, literally peeking his head through Bisonopolis while making this monologue. And, or saying, like, I love this. It's like, every bison dollar is worth £5 British. Once I kidnap the queen. And so it's just like, oh, it's wonderful.
It kind of angers me, though, just to talk about it. It's like, yes. I just hated that. I hate that film. Hate that film. So moving on to the Trashometer.
Torture.
We straight away, we know.
Torture.
It's got to be torture.
This one was pure torture. Like, this would, I would never watch this movie again. I would never want anyone to watch this again, especially if you're a Street Fighter fan. And just there's better things. And I bet, and I think is maybe we will go back to a video game movie at some point, and we'll maybe find one that's hopefully a bit more fun.
Certainly not the Mario Brothers.
No, that one we know is that one we know is torture. My God,
let's not do that to ourselves.
Let's not. Although if things get more successful, maybe we will. But that might be something where I think you might have to start paying us because I'm not watching that without getting some kind of compensation because I might have to get medication. I might have to see a therapist. I might have to get stubbed off work. I might have to retire and live in a cabin. You know, I need to eliminate life if I start watching that.
That will just end us.
I think so. I think we'll just give up on that one. By that point, we got halfway through, like, our run. And so this one was a bit more interesting because I think I was a little bit stumped about what to do next. And I think by this point, there were loads of it. I got a list. And you've seen my list. My list is expansive. Yeah. And people start giving me suggestions and giving me more movies to watch. And sometimes it's hard to follow, and sometimes hard to pick up, and something like that. But I said, you know what, I need a safe bet, but I definitely need something I know I'm going to enjoy more.
Yeah.
And we both, and like I said, we were mentioning a little bit before when I talked about Mandy, how we were huge fans of Nicolas Cage.
Mm.
And how we need to see Nicolas Cage at what's considered technically his worst.
And so that's where the Wicker Man remake came in. And this one's interesting because we are both fans of the original, but it's been a while since we've seen it.
Yeah.
So we went in here semi-fresh eyes, but already kind of knowing the plot. So watching this one was a bit interesting because it's starting to get a bit warmer. It's a bit more summertime. You know, we're getting, you know, this is the point where, you know, we're starting to get the brewskis in. We're trying to do this earlier on during the day so it doesn't, like, boil us, you know, and everything else. And we start watching this movie, and this movie was an interesting experience because I remember watching this movie, but it was a bit forever. Like, this is just all Nicolas Cage, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the dial is just turned up to, like, you know...
Crazy.
10. Maximum.
No, crazy.
Or it's just broke the scale. It's like the knobs come off.
It's gone off, and it goes bonkers. But the thing is, and what I love about it, is that it doesn't seem like that for halfway through the movie. And this is bizarre, because half of the film is Nicolas Cage actually playing very reserved.
Yeah, which is weird.
It's scary.
Mm.
And I think that's the scariest thing Nicolas Cage has ever done. Be reserved. And then when he finally starts snapping, like the bit, you know, like the bit where he just charges into the classroom and just says, "Now, whatever you're doing, I'm going to stop this lesson now. Oi, where's this missing kid?"
Actually, you mention that, because that is my... you know, the famous not the beast thing? That is great, but my highlight of the Wicker Man is the stuff in the bear suit.
Yes.
When he runs, like, sprints up to that woman and just punches her.
Pow! It was amazing.
And then there's that bit where he's, like, doing karate kicks on people and stuff. Like,
he literally, like, karate kicks a woman into, like, a wall of frames. It was awesome. And it's so ridiculous. And there's a whole bit, you know, my one of my personal favourites is the How to Get Burned part. How to Get Burned. How to Get Burned. How to Get Burned! How to Get Burned! How to Get Burned! It's like, Jesus Christ, speak! What language was that? Off completely in contemporary America, which I get if you're doing a remake, maybe you want to do something different, but it's a bit odd to set in, like, in what seems to be the Arizona desert or something like that. Or wherever the fuck it is. Does it actually say where they are?
No,
like,
just a couple of cops in a diner with rock and roll leather jacket.
Yeah, that was awesome. Nicolas Cage in a leather jacket like that looked badass, right? And he's doing his thing, whatever it is. And then he's doing a round. Like, he's just driving around, dropping tickets and stuff and everything else. Like, he's one of those cops, right? And suddenly, a doll drops from one of the cars. And you know this really cool, like, badass sweeping move?
That, when I was thinking about that would be very hard to do with that toppling off your bike, because he's going quite low there.
Yeah!
Like,
he's got, like,
and he's not really, like, he's not sort of adjusting the bike in any way. He's just literally going to pull the bike over, surely.
Yeah, yeah. So instead of toppling over, he grabs this doll off the road and tries to catch up with the car. When this happens, it's like there seems to be some kind of conversation with this woman and this girl in the backseat of the car.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, out of nowhere, a truck hits the car. Like, pew, like, where did it come from? There was no sign of this truck at all.
Yeah.
And it hits the car. The car tumbles down a little bit and explodes. And the funny thing is, you see Nicolas Cage just trying to break into... He's trying to break into the car to save the girl.
Yeah.
Like, by elbow dropping the fucking window.
It's like Street Fighter when you have to smash her.
Yeah, you see that? You see, that's our Street Fighter scene we missed from last time. It's Nicolas Cage just kicking a car in. Fucking great. Just fucking great.
But every time I turn my head, there's something that doesn't make any sense.
Well,
this whole movie doesn't make any sense.
Too. I was happy to leave here when I did, even though I came back. I wish I hadn't. I wish that I stayed and made a life with you. Been with you all these years, but I didn't. I came back here and had our child, and now she...
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It doesn't matter. We'll keep looking.
Oh, come on.
You don't feel like the chemistry between those two. It's like you don't feel like they were together or anything like that.
But then do you feel like anyone would have chemistry with Nicolas Cage? Nicolas Cage is his own animal. Like, he is a man
City
in a...
City of Angels, Meg Ryan.
No! But, no, that movie in itself, there's no chemistry there. That was, like, lack of... Those were literally two people from two different planets.
This is like the worst thing. When they're in that movie, when they're having sex, and Meg Ryan says, "Look, our bodies, they fit together."
Who says that? Like, it's like, can we fit like a key? perfect slot. Oh, good grief. Oh no, logs! Oh dear.
This hers? Kill me! How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? Oh no!
I don't know either!
That's a hard place.
Should I come in?
No, Willow, I mean it.
But maybe if we... Why are you looking at me like that?
Something bad is about to happen.
I think Nicolas Cage has finally snapped.
Go to the house and lock yourself.
And now we're going to get Nicolas Cage on 11.
Go,
I can't wait!
It's always the key when you hear him say the same line with different intensities.
It's like, how to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned! Love it.
Out of all the episodes, it's one of my favourites. It's because I think we were just starting to get a bit more witty by this point, and we're starting to get into it.
Yeah.
And I think one of my favourite parts of the whole podcast is actually me having this sort of epiphany when I realised that the movie was originally going to be done by Liam Neeson. And how we basically was taken the pagan edition.
Yeah.
And I had my light bulb popped up over my head at that moment. And I said to myself, oh my sweet Jesus, why has no one made this yet? You know, it's sometimes you realise that while you're talking about a movie, how much better a movie could be, or how bizarre a movie actually is by talking about it, which is why I love the podcast, because the podcast is that gives us an option to actually talk about it, to have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
I think this movie is very... like I said, the movie's great in terms of but even despite being tone deaf and all the kind of stuff. I mean, we talk about it in the episode. I think we're talking quite a bit of depth in that episode.
Mm.
We're going quite deep with that one. So, where do we put this on the rankings, though?
It's, I think, too trashy.
You're thinking so? Too trashy?
Yeah, too trashy. It's not... because trash would... mean that it'd be like perfect. And
sweet
spot. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect. Like, the gender politics in that movie is completely backwards.
Mm.
And there are some really... the hammy acting is great, but I think it's because of Nicolas Cage. If you removed Nicolas Cage, I think the movie would have just been really dull.
Yeah.
So Nicolas Cage is the only reason why you watch this movie. And women being weird and talking about honey and being punched in bear suits.
So would you agree with Too Trashy?
I think I'd agree with Too Trashy on this one. Mm. Although I was kind of thinking it was almost on the verge of being like tiny bit trashy. But then I realised actually that it's more frustrating at points rather than just like, it's alright, you know. Mm. So yeah. After that one, it was starting to get warm, it's getting sunny. It's like near the end of, it was like the end of August where we were starting to record this one. And so we decided to say, you know what, let's go to the beach.
Yeah.
And so I said, I know a shark movie, because it was during the time when where the Meg was going to come out. And and did we ever get a chance to see the Meg? Did you get to see the Meg?
No, I didn't see it. Apparently it's rubbish.
Oh.
I don't know, though. I mean, it might... Statham versus shark does sound appealing.
It does, doesn't it? I think we might have to do an episode at some point where we talk about the Meg and just reflect it on whether or not our Meg movie we watched is better than that Meg movie.
Mm.
You know? And that is Shark Attack 3 Megalodon. And Shark Attack 3 Megalodon, for me, like I said, is a very personal choice. This one was very personal because this was the very first film I ever showed people in my first sort of bad movie nights.
So it's kind of like the origins of the trash tapes, in a way.
In a bizarre way, yeah.
Before, you know, that whole thing came about,
yeah.
You were, like, showing trashy movies to your friends and stuff, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I don't know whether it was me being, like, snooty or whether because I just really love it, but it was because the moment I realised that there was this genre of bad films that are so bad they're great, and, you know, being 17, 18, you just want to show it to people because you want to show it, you must see this. And Shark Attack 3 Megalodon was the first one I saw. And because I saw things on the internet, and I was like, okay, you know, this is dial-up internet now, so this is going through forums and shit. You know, so I was going through the back ends to find what the fuck this was. And then I found it at my Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Fuck it. We're watching it. And it was mind-blowing. And so this was, for me, the beginning roots of wanting to show bad movies to people. I want to complete the cycle, as it were. And the cycle was to finally show it to you.
Mm.
So what do you think?
It was great. But it's funny, that episode, because the bits that I remember and my highlights are odd little bits, like... It's just the way it handled technology, like when he's kind of like scanning his tooth by like taking a picture of it really close.
Yes!
That's my sense of humour. That really tickled me, that kind of thing. And even though there's loads of crazy stuff going on with sharks,
yes,
that's little bits like that really made me laugh, and that it just made the episode for me.
Like, I think for me, my favourite part is the thing that sold me on this movie is the famous line, and this is because we know John Barrowman. Now, John Barrowman is like, we love him. I love him. I think he's amazing. I think he's hilarious. He's fantastic on television, but he has every right to be ashamed of this movie. And it's because of the famous one-liner, and that one-liner is the best. I just love it. It's like, because the reason why I love it, it's not because he said it.
Mm.
It's because the fact that it worked.
Yeah.
It's the fact that a man goes up to a woman, says that he wants to eat her out, just pure, bluntly.
Out of the blue.
And it works! And then they're banging in the shower! And you're thinking, if that worked in real life, we'd all get laid.
Mm.
Like, we'd all just get laid right now, but we don't.
It's so ridiculous, though, that the director kept it. And I know it is funny,
yes,
but it just seems so out of place in there, and it makes the movie... funny at the wrong moment, because it's not a comedy, you know?
It's not a comedy, but my God, it is for every other bad reason. This is the one that kicks off the whole bad shark movie, sort of, like, bad shark movie equals money sort of mentality. This is what started off Sharknado, and this is what starts off, like, the weaker sort of movies that are coming out now.
Mm.
It's the granddaddy of them all. With the bad CGI and everything else, if I was going to rate this, this is like a perfect trashy film for me. And that's for me. This is trashy for me. But I don't know what it is for you.
I would say that it's spot on in terms of trashiness.
Yes.
So I would personally class it as trash.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I see, I'm glad. So it seems like, at the minute, we've only got a few films that fall under pure trash perfectly at the minute. Because we've got, like, Troll 2 and Shark Attack 3 Megalodon. Everything else has not been entirely in place yet.
Yeah.
So this is our search to find those perfect trashy films for you. And after all that, you know, we were starting to get into sort of this weird period, because it was my birthday, and it was also Halloween.
Yeah.
So I said to you, and this is what I kind of like. I like these sort of things once in a while. This is why I hope the podcast becomes a bit more, where, you know, we can do a little bit of fun things. We have themes, or we have little things like that. And on my birthday, I said, you know what, I do not want to pick the movie, because it's my birthday and I don't want to work.
Yeah.
So, and that's when you got me as a birthday present, and I still have the birthday present. I love it a bit, and it's Ghoulies. And brilliant. I'm so glad that you picked that movie. Not because, like, it's a fun film and, you know, it has some... I think it has some corkers. It has some great moments.
Definitely.
It's also because just... How can I describe it? It's just, like, it was a pull... It was a full-blown surprise. And that's the thing, is people rarely surprise me these days.
Mm.
Like, no one really surprises me. And I'm not saying, like, oh, everyone who buys me a birthday or Christmas present is shite. No. What I mean by that is, like, rarely does someone sort of get me something that I didn't even know I want.
Mm.
Until that happened.
I was really surprised you hadn't seen it.
I've never seen Ghoulies. Mm. Because, you know, I've seen things like Gremlins, and I've seen Critters, but never Ghoulies.
Yeah.
And I remember the poster for Ghoulies and all that kind of stuff. I remember it, but I've never seen it because, you know, it was like in, you know, that whole kind of period and everything else, but I never got to see it.
Yeah.
So the fact that you got it, and then the fact that the moment it started, it wasn't at all what I expected.
Yeah. So, like, you're surprised again.
Again. Not only is like, oh, you got me Ghoulies, I didn't expect the movie to start off with a satanic cult ritual in the first 3 fucking minutes.
Yeah, because what you know about that movie is the poster, isn't it? Like the Ghoulie coming out of a toilet. You think it's going to be fun and kind of like maybe in a suburban town and like just a bit like Gremlins.
You thought Gremlins, and then you're like, no, fuck that. This is not Gremlins. This is not your grandpa's Gremlins. This is something entirely different. And the movie just gets like bombed. The puppets were amazing.
Yeah.
I love the puppets. The puppets are the best thing. Because, you know, you have Rat Boy, you have fucking, like, Toad Baby, you have the Bat, and they're all the worst puppets. Mm. Like, it's like they haven't even tried. No. And I love it.
They're a bit like Boglins, weren't they?
They were, they're like Boglins. You were the host for that once, which was actually quite a fun time for that.
It was fun, but I think reflecting back on it, I found it quite difficult to host. Because obviously I host our gaming show, and it's a whole different experience hosting that. And I found it quite difficult, but I got a taste of how you do things. Mm. And I don't know whether I want to host it again. But, like, I think it changes the format too much when I'm the host.
Yeah.
But I definitely would like to pick movies again. Like, now, you know, now and again, like, pick the movie. But, yeah, I don't think it quite fit with the host. I mean, the episode's good.
Yeah.
And it's a good film, but it had a different vibe with me hosting, and it's not the same, you know. I like to keep things consistent.
I think, I get that. I think it's because, I think you and I have very different hosting styles.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit, I think, and I've been told by a lot of people, I'm a little bit intense. So I'm very much like, more like, in your face, and I'm talking about everything, and I'm throwing facts and everything else. I'm throwing anything at the wall that sticks.
Yeah.
You're quite reserved.
Yeah.
And you're like, and I love it, because when you were doing it, like, you just say, like, no, let's just go right to the plot, please. Next, move on to the next step of the plot. Let's move on to the next step of the plot. And be honest, that was quite fun. And so, like, it kept me like, oh, we do need to remember there's a plot to this. I can't talk about bullshit. We need to go right for the plot. And that's the thing, is, like, this movie itself, when we were doing it, like I said, I was so surprised. That's why it was nice that you were hosting. It's because then I could literally talk about how surprised I was with every random-ass moment that this movie had.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as trashy as I would have liked it to be, but when it was like, what the hell are you throwing this at me for? Yeah. Wolfgang!
Jack Nance is a wizard.
I love him, because he only appears 3 times in the movie. Once at the beginning, one time in the middle of the movie, like twice in the middle of the movie for no reason. Like one bit he comes out of bed as if he has The Shining.
Yeah.
He's like, ooh, and then at the end, where we had no idea he was a wizard, but then he turned out he's a badass wizard in a Ric Flair robe. And I'm just thinking, oh my god, you fucking monster, you. Oh man, I loved it. He was like the random, like, saving grace, because obviously it's not that I didn't like all the bits were great, like the cross eyes and the dad coming back from the grave and everything else, but him coming in is like the perfect cherry on top of the perfect ice cream sundae.
Yeah, I mean, my favourite bits of that movie are like I just love the characters. I love like Butch Morrissey and stuff.
Yes! Oh, we came with the best names!
Yeah.
This one I think was the best names for nicknames, because we came with Butch Morrissey.
Yeah.
We came with Jennifer Rush.
Yeah.
Gothic Cyndi Lauper.
Mm.
And then we came with, and then we got like Creepy Toad Guy. Yeah. And
then it got confusing there because it was
Toad Baby and Toad Guy. and then we got the homoerotic stoners, which, yeah. Oh, I loved it. Oh, so good. So, yeah, this one was fun to do, and I really liked this one. I think I love how we're going through different kinds of movies with the podcast.
Yeah.
We're not sticking with just, like, gore fests or whatever. We're going kind of all over the road with this.
Mm.
And I love that. I love how we've done remakes. I love how we've done video games. I love how we've done horror movies. I love how we've done sort of weird-ass family-friendly but isn't movies and so on. And I'm hoping that in the future, when hopefully, you know, when more people start listening to us, can give us more recommendations, that we get some really weird. I want to go weird. Mm. I want to go different. I want to go bizarre. I want to do an animation.
Yeah.
I want to do a kids movie. I want to do like family dramas. I want to do all the genres that fall under this category of bad movie or trashy or weird or underground. I want to go foreign because we haven't done a foreign movie yet.
Mm.
And I think we need to start going. We need to go to a place like Japan.
Oh, actually, an honourable mention.
Yes.
For the we didn't do an episode on it, but we watched The Lift.
Oh my God! Yes.
And that could have easily been an episode. We went to an all night horror marathon over sort of around Halloween sort of time at our local like art house cinema.
I had an amazing time.
And it was so good that was. And one of the movies in that was like, actually there was two that were considered, could be considered as trash tape.
Yes, and we can have a bit of a chat about them now.
Yeah, The Lift and Jason X.
Yes.
Deep inside this vertical city, a machine has come to life. A machine with a terrible secret.
As long as the police think there were accidents, I have no reason to think there was any other cause.
I just want to know what the real cause is. It's not normal for things to happen that way.
Brooker, what happened to the lift? You must have an idea.
Modern technology gave birth to the lift. But the lift has made itself smarter, stronger, and deadlier.
Why don't you go to the police?
I haven't got any proof.
And now, the man responsible for making it safe is trying to make it stop. Killing. Take the stairs. Take the stairs. For God's sake, take the stairs.
So here's we got the lift. Now, The reason why, for me, it was a memorable experience is because, right, people who may not know or recognise, I'm from Gibraltar, born and bred, right? So I actually speak Spanish, or at least understand a lot of Spanish. My Spanish is now so deteriorated, but I completely understand it because I've been surrounded by Spanish my entire life. And you're thinking, what's that supposed to mean? Well, because the movie is Dutch, right? Mm. Is it Dutch? Dutch, yeah.
I
think it's Dutch or Danish or whatever it is. I think it's Dutch, right? But, and this is what's hilarious, right? It was subtitled for the Dutch, right? So we had subtitles for the Dutch. But this screening had the dub, not in the original language, in Spanish. So somewhere, these guys got like this, clearly this bootleg hack of a version of this movie. And so I was getting, right, Spanish version, the translation of the Dutch into English, and they both contradicted each other 100% all the time. Like, so there were moments where, I love it, because there were moments where lips moved and no one spoke.
Mm.
Or there were subtitles on and no one spoke.
That was the funniest bit for me, when you just, it reminded me of like a sketch in like a comedy show or something.
Yeah.
You got all these like text subtitles coming on the bottom, and there's just no one's talking at that point.
No,
like,
one's talking, but the thing is, it would have been talking in the Dutch.
Yeah.
But the Spanish just said, why do we need to say that? We can just say that now.
Mm.
Like, what's the point of showing that? And so I got most of the information, but I got different information at the same time.
Yeah.
Like the plot, it's okay. The plot itself, The Lift, is a movie about a killer elevator, which you think in itself would have been awesome.
Mm.
But the weird thing is, it wasn't. I think this movie was a dud. And the reason why it was hilarious and confusing for me is because I was translating it twice.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to read the English subtitles. I'm also trying to listen to the Spanish, and I'm realising they don't click. So I'm having to follow one or the other to get a plot, and it doesn't make sense.
So that's a completely different experience, really, isn't it? Because obviously I didn't understand the Spanish, but so I was just reading the subtitles. And it wasn't a good movie at all. It was horrible, but very funny.
It was funny.
That version of it was funny.
So that movie was funny. What was the actual reason why the lift started going crazy? Because if for you, apparently, in the English translation, apparently it's because the AI was starting to get... It was organic AI that was starting to, like, overwhelm itself, yeah, or something like that? Right? Not in the Spanish. The Spanish basically said AI was basically like a sexually transmitted disease. So it was like a sexually transmitted virus. I'm like, whoa, now that was weird. But then someone said, who the hell fucked a lift?
Mm.
So for me, if we're going to rate it, let's rate it. Let's rate this one. So if you're going to rate this one, right, where would it fall in the trashometer?
The thing is, you'd think it'd be high, but I don't think it is. I would say it was tiny bit trashy.
Tiny bit trashy?
Yeah.
But almost borderlining tame.
Mm.
Because if it wasn't for the fact that...
You've got a couple of, like, decapitations in there or something like that, though. Is it like,
only one decapitation.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
One decapitation. A couple of people, a lot of people just sort of passing out, sweating in the lifts. And then a couple of, like, wah moments.
Yeah, I thought it would be a lot, like, sort of more gory than it was.
Definitely. But it wasn't. It was more pratfalls. I think it was definitely close to... we'll go tiny bit trashy, getting close to tame.
I mean, I don't know. Is it tame? Is it tame, that one? You think...
I think it's a movie that could have been better, a lot better.
Mm.
And I think the reason why we're thinking tiny bit trashy is because of our experience.
Yeah.
If we watched it without that experience...
It would be tame.
It would be tame.
Yeah.
I think this one's our first tame. So The Lift, tame.
Mm.
It's boring. It's not as fun as you think it is.
Because you think, killer elevator, this is going to be great. It's not, though, is it?
It should have been like... the elevator should have been like almost like a fucking piranha. It should have just been like munching people. Like going crazy, throwing them out of the lifts and crushing their ankles and legs and body parts and everything. But no.
Yeah.
No. Terrible. But that was about, what, maybe 1 a.m? Yeah. In our marathon?
Yeah.
So after that one, we did Jason X. And that was the last movie we watched. Yeah. This was about 5 a.m.
Watching Jason X at 5 a.m. is its own experience.
Yes, because by this point, we were buzzed. Like, because by this point, right, we you and I sort of kind of stopped drinking. And we just started having, like, sugary snacks and, like, energy drinks and coffee and stuff. Like, we were on that end because we wanted to stay the whole night. We were buzzed by the end of this, right? And the thing is, by the time I got home, I couldn't sleep.
No.
But I knew that I was exhausted. So I stayed up till about maybe like 9 o'clock in the evening that night.
I did go to sleep, but it took me a while to get off. I was just like, it was tricky. But I was so proud of myself for staying up through the marathon because it was all about the method. Of like, no, I'm not going to just keep drinking like booze because that'll just make me too sleepy. So I'll have a couple of drinks of like beers or whatever. Mm. Then I'll just have purely like coffee or energy drinks and snacks. And I was like awake for the entire thing and really loved it.
That was a good time, actually. Mm. Although I admit, I had 2 power naps in there. I had 2 power naps.
Yeah.
One of them, I know you know, because I think it was during Aliens. And the thing is, I remember from Aliens, because it's a bit like, I know they landed on the planet, but then by the time I woke up, they've already found Newt, and they were about to invade the hive. So it's like, oh, I must have missed a good 20 minutes.
I think at some point in during Aliens, everyone was asleep apart from me. I was just looking around and it's like, I'm the only one up.
It's really hard. This was because Aliens came after the Lift, or was it after
Aliens
the Ring?
Aliens was like 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah. God, it was after that one, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, because the first of all, I remember you had The Exorcist, which was great. Then you had Ringu, which was awesome. Ringu was the best movie of the night, I think, for me. And then The Lift, and then Aliens, and then Jason X.
Yeah.
So, Jason X, 5 o'clock in the morning, we're buzzed on sugar and coffee. I had energy drinks and everything else, and... Yeah, and this one is personally, for me, one of my favourite Jason movies.
Yeah.
And I love it because it knows it's stupid, right? But I think watching it at 5 a.m. is a different experience than when you're actually eager to watch it at, like, at a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, for those who have not heard of Jason X, Jason X is the movie where I think it's literally jumped the shark, or actually jumped Jason into space, which is Jason gets cryogenically frozen and gets picked up 1,000 years into the future by future space university students who find him a relic, and then they thaw him out. And then he goes on a murderous rampage on a spaceship where he becomes a cyborg eventually. And there's robots and there's nipple sex. It's really, really overall, the movie is all right.
Mm.
And it's a fun watch.
It just, watching it now, especially, like, it looks very, very like a TV movie.
Very much.
That lets it down for me because even though I like trashy movies, I like them to look like movies. I don't like them to look like they're on TV.
Yeah.
And that it really does look like a TV movie.
And the thing is as well, it's like half the deaths felt a little bit like they were off screen or it's like a splat on the wall.
Mm.
And I think looking back at it now, yeah, you saw some of the aftermath. Like my favourite one's when they dip the girl in like the whole, you know, the nitroglycerin sort of thing and her face freezes.
Yeah.
And then they just smash her face in. Like that was awesome. That is literally, that's a gory death. And you would play that in slow motion over and over again.
Yeah.
But then all the other ones, it's like, hack, slash, bleh. But then there's some bit, but I think it's also self-knowing, because I love the bit where it's just like, hey, he just, all he wanted was his machete back. Don't give him a fucking machete, you know? And I think the movie itself is fine. Yeah. I think I still love it for the fact that it's very self-aware, and it's goofy, and it has nipple sex. But I think the experience is you really need to be ready for it, and be totally aware that it's cheap looking. It's not as frantic or as nasty as some of the other Jason movies.
Yeah.
And that it's a bit tongue in cheek. A lot of people hate this movie. I personally have a fondness for it. But if I was going to rate it, I don't know where this would fall under, actually.
Surprisingly, I would class it as tiny bit trashy.
I think so.
Because it's not perfect. It's not too trashy. It's not torture. It's not tame. It's got to be tiny bit, surely.
Tiny, yeah. Well, like, there are some enjoyable bits, like I said, the nitroglycerin death.
Mm.
But then...
It's not enough, like, memorable, trashy moments in it, is there, for it to be trash?
True, but then again, my favourite part is the moment where you have cyborg fight, where you have, like, the crazy android woman in, like, a cat suit literally blow up Jason to smithereens, and then nanobots fucking rebuild him to be cyborg Uber Jason, which is actually what it's called. It's called Uber Jason. And I think, oh my sweet God, that is so badass. That is awesome. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
You know? And that to me is like, that for me is memorable.
It's a shame, really. I would have thought that would be considered trash or too trashy, but it's definitely a tiny bit, I think.
Tiny bit trashy. Yeah. Yeah. So now, we now go, after all that, we've had Ghoulies, and we've had everything else, and we've had a good time to everything. And by this point, I did promise you something, right? Because I did remember going through episode 9, and I was so amazed that we were on episode 9 by that point. Because, like I said, I haven't done anything for that long in forever. So the fact that we're now on episode 9 was like, wow, we've done it. And I did it with a corker, and we did it with, I believe, I think my personal favourite in terms of like the level of trash and the things like that, and one thing I promised you, which was ninjas, and which is now becoming a theme, which was the Miami Connection.
Yeah.
And I love it because you've never heard of it in your life.
No. No, is that? And I've watched quite a few ninja movies, but mainly like the ones that everyone knows, like...
Yeah.
the American Ninja.
American Ninja, like, Enter the Ninja, you know, like a few other bits like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, ninjas are a thing and we should be doing more of them, which is why hopefully by next November we're going to have another ninja movie. We're going to keep that theme going because, you know, trashy films always have good ninjas in them.
So, yeah, we established Ninjavember as well. So,
Ninjember. How are we going to pronounce this?
Ninjavember.
Ninjavember.
Yeah.
Ninjavember.
And what we will do next, this November, is we'll have more ninja content, I think, related on the other shows and stuff. Like, anything about to play, have a ninja.
Yeah.
We did that this time, but like, the last time, but, like, maybe have enigmatic TV episode that's a ninja movie. That's more of a classier ninja movie or something.
Or maybe a TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I've already got ideas. Like, for example, like, my God, what if we did the Mortal Kombat TV show? Oh, my God. If anyone remembers the Mortal Kombat TV show, please give us a ring, because I used to watch the hell out of that show.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Oh my God, I used to watch the hell out of it with my brother. We used to watch it all the time. I bet you watching it now is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But I would love to have a marathon of just all the Mortal Kombat TV show. Right, so that would be something. And then video games, you have things like Ninja Gaiden and stuff like that. And then, and obviously movies, there's loads of them. Like, there's fucking loads of them, and we'll find one from that one. And again, a good movie that has such an amazing backstory, which, if you listen back to the podcast episode, it's very tragic that ends really well. Because it's about the whole, this man's journey to try and make a movie, to try and basically, for his opinion, to, you know, world peace. World peace. And, you know, using orphans.
Yeah. No, that was a really good episode. One of my favourites. Because I love it when I find a movie and end up, like, loving it. You know, like, I completely not heard of it. And it's going blind, don't you?
Yeah.
And, it's a really bad movie, but it's a good movie at the same time.
It's amazing, like, that.
Yeah.
It's like I said, the reason why I fall into trash is because it's just the right level of everything goes so wrong, but it also goes so right. Mm. Like, all the acting is subpar, and, you know, we have, like, you know, we have, like, some amazing moments, like, my father's alive! Oh my God! And, you know, ninjas on bikes, and the music, which was still, I'm still trying to find a vinyl. It's really hard to find a vinyl for
it. I think they made a few when the movie got re-released, but I don't think you can get them now.
Limited edition.
Get it right now!
Okay, well,
you can have
it.
Give me the lighter now!
How old are these guys?
Stop being such dicks!
Are they like six?
Oh, stop being such dicks! Let the guy have his letter!
Get some work done.
You would have had enough done for that street.
Yes,
man.
What's going on here?
Guys trying to wake up the neighbors or what?
Seen a fashion for one night?
Can you let him put on his goddamn pants at least?
What letter?
John, what happened?
I don't know, you won't tell me.
Huh? What could have been a dick and stealing his letter?
What happened?
Jim, what is this letter? Tell us, go ahead and talk.
Give him a moment! Process!
No, you're pretty best friend.
Oh my God.
Sorry, it's hiding from us from you guys.
I didn't know you had a father. I thought we are all orphans.
They're all orphans. Orphans. I don't know what an orphan is, like a fish?
Why did it seem like that bit was in thought as well?
Yeah! I thought we were all orphans.
And my father was black American.
Oscar winning moment.
The tears, man. He's doing it all while being topless and with his pants halfway down.
Each other in their world oil. And we never saw him again. She told me to find him.
Oh my God, man!
I didn't lie to you because
we shouldn't be laughing. This is supposed to be a serious. This is supposed to be a very serious moment.
Whether he was dead or alive.
Shit!
That guy doesn't know how to hit his mark. He was behind him all the time.
The entire time. You know what? I bet the guy who stole his letter must be like a real dick now. He's like, who's this? Your parents? What an those shorts! Oh, that's so up there! That must give you a wedgie.
Male hot... They're like hot pads.
Those are so hot pads.
It was not even...
Only in the 80s. Only in the 80s. Yeah! Go, Karate Man! Does everyone knows Taekwondo? Everybody!
Glad we didn't see the guy in hot pants fight too much. I think he could pop out of there.
Oh, imagine that was the case.
You just wiped him out.
One man wiping team. They arrived just a little too late.
I am so sorry for what happened. I didn't mean.
Yeah, you just those guys.
What are you sorry about? You knocked out like a whole gang of muggers.
Taekwondo is not just kicking and punching. Taekwondo is right here and right here.
All right, Mr. Miyagi.
Fucking hell!
Yes, Uncle John, I know what you mean. And I know what Taekwondo is all about.
After, so while that, all that is happening then, all the ninjas get killed off by these two crazy mofos, right? Which is really random because clearly they're driving towards through Orlando halfway through Miami or something. Must be driving halfway through Miami or something because the white ninja shows up. Now, the white ninja, it seems to be in his dojo somewhere, which we thought was in Miami, but isn't. Because it fucking teleports. And I love it. Because one ninja's dragging his body in.
He's literally pulling himself by his sword, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, just like, he's so wounded, he kind of can't walk anymore. Probably.
I love it.
So he's just using his sword as like a cane, isn't he?
Yeah, like a crutch.
And he just says that they're all dead. They killed them all.
And then suddenly, the best of reaction I think I've ever seen.
The only decapitation in the movie.
And it just happens out of fucking nowhere as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good. We laughed so much at that bit.
Because it's like, everybody's dead. And the head's like, just like a fucking stump. And he goes, ha 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 ha. And then there's a real long, awkward moment of silence.
Yeah.
It was a blast. That was a lot of fun to do. Editing that episode was a lot of fun to do because I didn't have to edit much for it.
Yeah.
It was so good. I think one of the things we rarely talk about on the podcast or on anything is how I do the episodes. Mm. And the episodes are, some episodes were a haul.
Yeah.
Like the Street Fighter episode was very difficult to do because I wasn't enjoying it. Mm. This one was a blast. It was so easy to do, finding the best bits. But there's so much on the cutting room floor.
Mm.
And you know this. There's so much on the cutting room floor that it could be its own episode.
Yeah.
By how much we put into it. And we were thinking at one point just making like a best of all the bits that were cut out. But it took forever to kind of find those good bits out of the stuff I cut out. It's because we can keep talking and rambling on forever. And I try my best. I do try my hardest. And I know sometimes the scheduling is a little off sometimes. But to try and do this episode once a month and try and get it out on a monthly basis does take time when I have like a full-time job and I'm trying to find new research and content and stuff like that. But this one was actually, out of all the episodes to edit, was the most fun to edit.
Yeah.
It was the best one to edit. It was the simplest one to edit. It was the most obvious one to edit. It was one that I just kept nearly everything in. I didn't have to remove a single thing, really. It was brilliant. So much fun to do. And I love how excited you got every time something was happening. It's like, oh my God. And that for me is a reason.
Yeah, it was just so much fun. And my favourite bit of that episode is the emotional scene, you know, with the
the lumbering crying baby.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
So yeah, that's the best. That's my favourite bit. I can't remember much of what the lines were. I just remember it being a very funny experience, that scene.
I love one of my favorite characters is Angry Guy, who basically was the Dixie's Midnight Runners guy, who I love. One of my favorite lines is like is him shouting at the owner of the bar or something, and then he goes and just says like, "These guys don't even make music for kids." I'm like, "What does that even mean? What are you on about? Are you high?" And you know, and just and then the ninjas and the random decapitation. There's loads of fun, memorable bits for me. Yeah. It's not lines is not a thing in this one. It's not really lines you remember.
No, it's just the performances were so odd, weren't they? At times, like the angry guy, his acting angry was just such a weird thing because he was kind of really fired up, but he didn't seem like he was ever actually gonna punch anyone.
He was never
like,
pissed off enough.
Yeah.
To be genuinely pissed off, which was amazing.
He was just loud, doesn't he?
Ah! And see, and that's when we introduced the trashometer. You know, and I think that's when we gave a trashy perfect for that. And I think that was, I think, the best episode to kick off the trashometer because it really summed up exactly what we wanted, which was we're trying to find the best trashy films. We do not want something that's a tame experience, a bit trashy, or a torturous experience. We really want something that really tickles all the funny bones. Mm. And I'm so glad that at least in this year alone, we found three that fall directly into that category.
Yeah.
Christmas was difficult. Like, Christmas was hard because, you know, we had to edit this episode and do everything out before Christmas time.
Mm.
And it's hard because, you know, everyone's buying presents and so on and so forth. But what a way to blast off that Christmas spirit than to watch Goldberg, one of our favourite professional wrestlers, dress up as Santa and beat everyone up.
It was great. Really good.
Mm.
It's weird, though, because it doesn't fall... Because when we rated this movie, it was rated like tiny bit trashy, wasn't it? So
yeah.
It's not actually that trashy, but it's a really fun, enjoyable movie.
It's a good movie, but it's not trashy enough.
Mm.
Like, it could have been worse. And I think what I mean by worse is they could have pushed it a bit and it would have been like the perfect trashy movie.
Mm.
But it didn't push it enough to make it fall into that. And it becomes a sort of weird Jewish sort of representation of Christmas, played by Bill Goldberg. And it's so random, and it's brilliant and silly, and it's the latest episode out, so you can definitely still listen to it.
Yeah, there's lots of interesting stuff that I was surprised were great about the movie. Like, his costume is awesome.
On point.
Just credit to the costume designer of that. It's really, really good.
I know.
I think the best Santa outfit on film.
Like. I think it's, yeah, he looked like a complete badass.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And his performance was great. He's the reason why I was falling in love with this movie. You know, because everything else in between was just a bit meh. But when he pops on, it's like, oh, he can command a room. But he should know how to command a room because he's a fucking professional wrestler. Mm. And so by being a professional wrestler, he should already know how to instantly, like, you know, be in there and say, who's next? And, you know, spear people through fucking tables and shit. It's fucking great.
Which he did do through
he
a glass.
Did do, he went through
the glass counter.
And that was amazing. We've gone through an entire year now. A whole year now. And, you know, I'm really happy that we've actually had the gall to try this. And it's doing quite well. I'm hearing friends of mine and people on the street who listen to it, and everyone else is saying, like, oh, it's so much fun, I'm so glad the episode's out, and everything else. So in terms of the trash tapes, we are doing well, and I'm so glad that it's getting well. So I'm hoping for another prosperous 2019.
Yeah, definitely.
So all we're going to do now is maybe think about, maybe tease a little bit, what kind of movies we're going to maybe watch in the new year. Thing is, in February it'll be a whole year, right? So I think February, if we're going to do a theme every February, I think it has to be a milestone.
Yeah.
We start off with Troll 2. Milestone movie. The best.
Yeah.
On the nose. Like, we start off on such a right foot that I think it kind of tainted our experience sometimes, didn't it? Like, I feel like we start off so well.
Yeah.
That all the other movies afterwards just really couldn't match it until we found, like, something like Shark Attack or Miami Connection. So, yeah, so...
Yeah, it was quite hard to top it, wasn't it?
But I think I know when I might top it, right? So, as a teaser for February's episode, right, and I'm gonna fucking say it, because I know everyone wants us to do it, but fine, we're doing The Room.
Yes. And what's great as well is that I haven't seen it.
I have seen it many times. In fact, I have seen it in the... I've seen it with my friend Jason at the a live screening of it. What I mean by that is you go to, like, midnight screening, and it's one of the best things ever. It's like going to, like, a Rocky Horror Picture Show screening, midnight screening. There's people throwing spoons and American footballs around. Everyone's shouting at the screen. It's a fantastic time. The Tommy Wiseau masterpiece.
Mm.
And what's great about it is that it's now available 100% for free by Tommy Wiseau on YouTube. So I don't even have to buy it. We are totally just going to watch it right there on YouTube, right there and then, unstopped, unscreened, and by Tommy Wiseau himself.
Yeah.
So this is going to be great.
Just seeing clips from it and stuff, and even from the clips you can tell what kind of movie it is.
Oh, sweet Jesus. But yeah. But sitting down watching an entire movie and experience the Tommy Wiseau experience is by far just... It's like having an orgasm, but also taking a shit at the same time. It's really bizarre. You're like, oh, my sweet Jesus. And oh, sweet Jesus. It is this bizarre roller coaster of an emotion.
Mm.
Because you don't know whether to love it or hate it.
Mm.
There's other things like that. And I want to go and go all genres. I want to go horrors, comedies. I want to go dramas, action. I want to do everything, right? Because I want 2019 to be the year of trash.
Yeah.
The year of trash 2019, where we're going to go out and explore our options. We're going to go full haul. I swear, eventually, we might do some screenings. We might even get merch. We might even try pushing the boundaries and doing a live stream. We don't know. We're going to try it. I want to really make this world trashy and green. Just like the Neil Hogg milk that we were having right from the very beginning of this podcast. I want to fill the world and turn everyone into green gook.
Fantastic.
Indeed. And so on that note, just remember, keep an eye on your trash. There may be some treasure in there. See you guys later.
See you guys.
The Trash Tapes is a podcast created by Enigmatic Productions. It is hosted and created by Johan Chapur and co-starring Edward Harvey. If you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast. We are on Spotify, iTunes, Acast, and Buzzsprout. You can also find more information about us on our social media sites. We have Instagram, which is under Enigmatic Productions. We have a Facebook page called under Studio Enigmatic, and we have a Twitter under Enigmatic_UK. For more information on the other kind of products and projects we're up to, check out our website at www.enigmaticproductions.co.uk.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it around with movie lovers you know, maybe add a star rating or write a good review. All of this helps with the algorithm and provides us with more opportunities to reach the ears to a whole new bunch of bad film fanatics. Want to find out more about us? Then head over to our socials where we provide sneak peeks and up-to-date news on everything nostalgic and trashy. You can find our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages in the description. So please, follow us. See you next time, cinephiles.